Oh, hello. Can we please talk about UFC in Old Gay Paris coming our way this weekend? I've decided that I was going to do another kind of little news show this week, but I thought, you know what? I think my time would be better served in just researching these like a couple of these fights. I'm only looking at three. There are three that jump out off the page at me, and basically, what I'm going to be doing is taking a look at these three fights that have jumped off the page at me and just doing some research into the fighters, telling you a little bit more about them. Maybe there are some things that you didn't know about them that are interesting, that you know, maybe little things that they do inside the octagon, maybe outside of the octagon, just stuff that I find interesting about these fighters. So it's just more so that you can know, learn more about these guys that are going to be fighting this weekend, because it always helps me enjoy the fights a little bit more if I can just, you know, if there's a reason for me to pick one or the other, maybe I'll put a little bet on here and there, because what I like to do is like an MMA scratch card, basically. They're terrible bets, and I won't pretend they're not. The research is all valid, though. The research that I put into these bets is what you need to pay attention to, because then you can just, you know, you can make your own mind up. You're never going to get rich betting on mixed martial arts. You're never going to get rich gambling on sports. I hate to tell you this, but it ain't going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Because what you need, like, to get rich betting on sports, you need a lot of capital, bet on the favourite every time, and every bookmaker will shut down your account as soon as they realise what you were doing. If you think you're going to get rich betting on sports, I hate to tell you this, it's not going to happen. That is not what they want. They don't want you getting rich off of betting on sports. It's just not happening. Yeah, so if that sounds good, stay with me for the Burt Locker Fights in 15 for UFC Paris. So I'm going to start off in the lightweight division. It's going to be Benoit Saint-Denis versus Christos Giagos. And yeah, look, this is one of the ones where, as I alluded to earlier, sometimes there are things that these guys do outside of the octagon that I just find very interesting. Benoit Saint-Denis is one of those guys. Not only is his surname like the same as the one of the best towns in Red Dead Redemption 2, Old Saint-Denis, it's one of the most fun places to go, you know. It's like a kind of it's just a cool place. You can get into shootouts, go play some poker, and yeah, it's just a badass place. And just like, you know, Benoit Saint-Denis is a badass. He's got the first name of the last name of that wrestler who did all that. It wasn't great what happened with Chris Benoit. Best not to go into it. Probably shouldn't have even brought that up. Really? So anyway, back to the fighters. Look, Benoit Saint-Denis. The reason I like this guy is you look at his background. He's ex-French Special Forces. He was in a counter-terrorist squad. Like, he has seen some action, I'm telling you. Like, this dude, like, he's been on fucking, you know, the equivalent of like Black Ops missions, like, you know, the thing, shit that fucking governments deny vehemently, right? That's the kind of dude you're dealing with here. So when you think about it like that, when that was his fucking day job, all of a sudden getting into a cage and fighting somebody with like no risk of getting killed, minimal risk of getting killed, there's probably accidents are going to happen, but either way, you get what I'm trying to say. It's probably going to be a walk in the park. Like, if you're an ex-special forces, anti-terrorist, fucking special ops, fucking operative, all of a sudden fighting in a cage probably isn't all that daunting, is it? And from what we've seen of him, that's kind of what happens. I mean, look, he's also not without his credentials in martial arts as well. He's a black belt in judo, which is very useful for MMA, actually, because the judo players that, like, that, they're often very good at getting arm bars. Like, the arm bars are very good from judo practitioners ordinarily. They're very good in the clinch, very good at getting trips, very good at getting the fight down to the ground. And that's kind of apparent when you look at his record, because you see that actually he's got like out of his nine wins, like, they're all finishes, one knockout, the rest are all submissions. So it's no secret what Benoit Saint-Denis is going to be going for when he enters the octagon. And one thing that I almost forgot, yeah, because there's another chap that he was a Brazilian special police, or like, yeah, secret police or whatever, Paulo Thiago. Benoit Saint-Denis reminds me a little bit about Paolo Santiago in his kind of demeanour. Just like, he's got that thousand-yard stare. Like, you can tell he's killed people. Like, he's just got that kind of aura about him. Paolo Thiago, go back and watch his fights. You see, like, because Paolo Thiago, you know, he had plenty of losses, you know, plenty of wins as well. He wasn't, like, untouchable in the octagon, but it was just, like, win or lose, it was just a walk in the park for him. It was like, it was what he did in his leisure time. It's kind of, those kind of hard men are fucking few and far between. They really are. And Benoit Saint-Denis is another one like that. So I do think that he's quite special in a lot of ways. And as I said, he does have the skills to back it up because he's always going in for those submissions. Now, as you can see up here, down here probably. I think it's down here. I don't know. Either way, unfortunately, Christos Giagos, his opponent, has not quite got the respect of the UFC statisticians. Is that a word? I don't even know. It might not be a word. But either way, as you can see, he's got no stats at all. He's got 0-0. He's got no reach, no height, no weight. He's got nothing. What I can tell you is, boop, pop it up there. He is 32 years of age. He's 5'10". He's got 19 wins, 10 losses. And he has got 7 knockouts on his record. Now that is a stat that I just want to draw your attention towards, because what my only criticism of Benoit Saint-Denis is that, fuck me, does he leave openings to get caught, and does he love taking a shot to the face? I mean, obviously, he lost his debut, I think, by decision, but he just got beaten. I remember watching it. He was just getting teed off on, like, but he's so tough that he just kept walking forwards, and that could be a problem if he fights somebody who's got legitimate knockout power. And anyone who's got 7 knockouts on their record probably has at least some power. So that could be something to keep an eye on. Outside of that, I don't really see many ways that Giagos is going to be able to take out Saint-Denis. And the problem for Giagos, they're actually both a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think Saint-Denis, he's a brown belt under Christoph Savoca. I don't know who Giagos has his brown belt under. But either way, they're both brown belts, but there are different levels to brown belts. And when you look at how many submissions that Benoit has in the octagon, his submission game has clearly translated quite well to mixed martial arts. And Giagos has a few losses by submission on his record. So we know that that is a potential weakness there for Giagos. Like, one of his biggest weaknesses there, you've got 4 submission losses. So, you know, the fact that Saint-Denis is one of his strengths is submissions. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to put 2 and 2 together and think, okay, the submission could be the way to go here for Benoit Saint-Denis. I do feel like the path of least resistance for Benoit Saint-Denis is to get this to the ground. And that's what he normally does. You saw in his last fight against Stoltz, he's not only good with his judo, like getting the trips and things like that. He's got a pretty decent single leg and double leg takedown. And what I like about his double leg is he will shoot in for the double leg, and he won't get it at first, but he will like clasp the hands, and that grip is not going anywhere, and he will just be relentless. He'll eventually get him down. And once he's got him down, you'll see that he actually kind of body locks the legs to keep them together. And he kind of shuffles his way up. So then he often ends up in mount. And that's when he starts raining down blows and often takes the back. Because he'll make his opponent kind of cover up, try and get like anywhere so that he's not taking a hit to the face anymore. Give it the back, and when he gets the back, he's got a very good body triangle. Like, his body triangle is very good. Like, you saw it against Stoltz, you've seen it in his earlier fights outside the promotion. He gets that body lock and he sinks it in, and he's got complete control at that point. And then you saw in against Stoltz, it was second round quite early, he got that body lock on and then clamped on the neck, and he's got a hell of a squeeze. He's relentless, and His skills help him to all gravitate towards that submission. So that's where I'm going with this, in case that wasn't obvious. I'm going to go with Benoit Saint-Denis by submission, right? And The odds are not up on this yet, so that's just my pick. I'm going to be doing a further video in the week. It's going to be a short one, just with literally the odds that I got on the on my picks. But like I said, like Giagos is a big underdog here. Like even just on the win-loss, Giagos is a sizable underdog. And as I said, he's got 7 knockouts on his record. It's not impossible for it. Like, and one thing that concerns me with Benoit is he does leave himself like getting caught against Stoltz. He shot. He just ate this knee to the face. He was shooting him for a takedown because he left his knee. He left his head right at knee level, and he ate it. Don't get me wrong. He ate it like a champ. But there's only so many of them that you can eat. You know what I mean? But he's just so tough and so kind of, you know what I mean? He's just so fucking hard that I don't see any way that Giagos is going to be able to slow him down. So for me, my pick is going to be Benoit Saint-Denis by submission. That will go on the bet slip, and I'll let you know what the odds are later on in the week. So the next one I'm going to be looking at, the one that's jumped out of the page, it's not a hard one. You know who it is. Robert Whittaker versus Marvin Vettori at £185. Now, this one is going to be a very interesting fight for a great many reasons, not least because of how similar these guys are. They really are good. But this one is going to be on my Patreon. So it's a Patreon exclusive fight breakdown. So if you'd like to see this breakdown, please head on over to the Burt Locker on Patreon. So then you've got the main event. This main event is really interesting. It's very, very interesting. Look, Ciryl Gane versus Tai Tuivasa. Now, we know both of these guys pretty well at this point, right? Gane, he's a fast point striker who came up just short against Francis Ngannou a few months back. And across from him is the knockout king from Australia, Tai Tuivasa. Their fighting style could not be more different. Ciryl Gane is fast. He's precise. He takes zero risks. He takes no risks at all. And that's what makes him very, very hard to beat. Tai Tuivasa, on the other hand, is kind of the polar opposite. He takes a lot of risks, but he thrives in the chaos. He's got a good chin. Look, he's got great technique as well. He throws a lot of feints and combinations, and his leg kicks are very good as well. But his speed is not going to be on the level of Ciryl Gane, and that's a problem. Tuivasa, as I said, like he started recently using a lot more. You saw him against Derek Lewis. He used a lot more feints. A lot more leg kicks. Now, feints, they don't get scored, but they do help him to read his opponent and set up what he's going to be doing next. The problem with using feints against Ciryl Gane is that Gane is so fast that he's probably not going to give those reads that Tai Tuivasa needs to kind of plan what his next attack is going to be. That's why it's very difficult to attack Ciryl Gane, because he's so quick that he's turns people into wrestlers. He's so fast, he turned Francis Ngannou into a wrestler. That's how fast he is. And the bookies are not really giving Tai Tuivasa a chance in this fight. There's good reason for that, because look, the likely outcome here is Ciryl Gane to point strike to a decision. That's what he does. It's what he's good at. And the problem is, he's so fast, it's very difficult to stop him doing that, unless you're a stud wrestler. And unfortunately, Tuivasa is not really a wrestler. He's what I like to call a technical brawler. He thrives in the chaos. He's got a great chin, and he throws back. Because you saw when he got caught against Derek Lewis, like there was no, oh, I'm going to shell up and better protect my chin. He just bit down. He was like, hey, here we go. Like, they just started throwing. And as soon as he got clipped, he was like, no, I'm throwing more. He doubles down. And I respect the shit out of that. I love Tai Tuivasa. He's one of my absolute favourites. He's so good. Now, there are ways, like the bookies have kind of written Tai Tuivasa off here, but there are ways for Tuivasa to win this fight. And this is what they are. Look, what Tuivasa needs to do is he needs to get all the way in against Ciryl Gane. There's no point in him being outside against Ciryl Gane. He's just going to get picked off. He's going to get picked apart, peppered with strikes. He's probably not going to get finished, but he's just going to get soundly beaten if he stays on the outside against Ciryl Gane. No point in doing that at all, right? What he needs to do is get all the way in. He needs to use leg kicks to maybe slow Ciryl Gane down. If he can land him, if he can land that low calf kick, that's going to be handy, especially early on in this fight. But what he needs to do is he needs to get all the way in, like he did against Derek Lewis. He was very good at getting in that clinch, and he won those clinch battles against Derek Lewis. And you've got to remember, Derek Lewis is far bigger and stronger than Ciryl Gane, and he dominated him in those clinch battles, getting those double underhooks, right? So if he rushes in, he gets those double underhooks. He's not going to be looking for a takedown, but he's going to be looking to use his weight to slow Cyril Garn down. Just use his weight on top of him just to tire the Frenchman out so he can just take a little bit of the pep out of that movement, man. Now, Tuivasa, one thing he does very well, we saw it against Derek Lewis, one thing he does very well from the clinch, from those double underhooks, is landing those short elbows, right? Now, the way that he does that, if you watch what he does, like he's very clever. He gets the double underhooks, but he actually, it's usually the right side that he throws with, but he gets the double underhooks, but he'll give one up. You'll watch the palm of his hand, like he'll pull his arm out of the double underhook. His palm will go onto the bicep there and the elbow up. That's where it comes from. And he lands that on the chin. That puts people out. That will put anybody out. That's possible here. Like, he could do that to Cyril Garn. I've seen way stranger shit than that happen, right? And you just got to watch it, like, because he'll get the clinch the first few times and he'll just ride him out and he'll try and kind of just tire them out, get him a little bit slippery so he can slide that hand out, palm on the bicep, turn that palm inside and the elbow just comes up, because he's then pushing that bicep down so you can't block it on that side. You can't bring your arm up to block it because his palm's on there. It's perfect. It's absolutely brilliant. And he needs something like that. If he's going to beat Cyril Garn, that's what he needs to catch him with. But it's very possible. He could do that. So that, for me, is how Tuivasa could beat Cyril Garn. The main issue here is that Cyril Garn is so good at keeping range. He's so good. It's going to depend whether he's even going to allow Tuivasa to get him in that clinch situation. I think in order to do that, Tuivasa is going to have to rush in. Rushing in is going to lead to eating shots. But I don't think that Cyril Garn necessarily has the stopping power to stop Tuivasa in his tracks like that, which is why I think it is a possibility that Tuivasa could get him inside, get him on the clinch, get him against the cage, make this fight messy, make it nasty, use that dirty boxing, right? Because I don't think he's got the stopping power to just put the lights out on Tuivasa. That's not what we've seen from Cyril Garn anyway. And also, you've got to remember that the Tuivasa has an excellent chin. An excellent chin. Like, he took some of Derek Lewis's best shots. He took some of Greg Hardy's best shots. Yeah, he was wobbled, but that's where he's at his most dangerous. He's wobbled, but they go in to finish him. And then crack. He cracks him with an elbow. Cracks him with a right hand. He's that kind of fighter. So, for me, the other thing worth considering, Garn does have submissions. I don't think he's going to gravitate towards that against Tuivasa, because Tuivasa's not going to be kind of trying to get this to the ground. He's just going to be trying to kind of slow him down and brawl with him against the fence. That's the key to victory here for Tuivasa. And the key for victory, as we all know from Cyril Garn, he's going to do what Cyril Garn likes to do. That is stay on the outside, light on his feet, in and out, pop, pop, just pop, pop, 1-2. The 1-2 down the pipe from Cyril Garn is a thing of beauty. It is. Because there's not really much of a wind up on it. He flies forward and backwards. So there's light on his feet, right? Flies forward with the jab, bang, and the cross comes in. But he's out of range before anyone can even swing back. You saw it against Volkov. It puts a scaring into him because they're like, he's so fast, I can't hit him. This is shit. I don't like this at all. But the key, you need to get your hands on him. Rather than trying to strike with him from the outside, Tuivasa's got to get his hands on him. Get his hands on him. Make it physical. Use his strength. Use his weight. And then, like I said, use those elbows from the clinch. And he could beat Cyril Garn here. Like, it's possible. Tuivasa's good. He's better than he's being given credit for here. So for me, look, pick-wise, this is easy. If you want a pick that is likely to come off, like, is correct, then, you know, take Cyril Garn by decision. Like, you're not going to get good odds on that, because it's probably the most likely outcome. But I'm a dreamer, right? I am a dreamer, and I want to dream big for Tai Tuivasa. I think that there are ways Tuivasa could win this fight. I think it's unlikely, but for me, that's where my money is going, because number one, the odds are going to be astronomical. I don't know what the odds are on the knockout yet, but that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a knockout on my accumulator because that's what I like to do. I like to fucking roll those dice, you know? What's the fun in betting on the favourite all the time? So for me, I've just, you know, I've got a dream, and that is that Tui Vasa is going to rush in, grab that clinch, make it dirty. We'll see that palm on the bicep, and then you know the elbow's coming, elbow to chin, lights out, and you've got Tai Tuivasa probably being next in line for the heavyweight title. I mean, it's a dream. That is, that's my dream anyway. But it's not that I'm against Ciryl Gane. I massively respect what he does and what he can do. And it's I think this is going to be a really fun fight. I'm looking forward to it immensely. And yeah, and it's going to be on a normal time, I think, for us UK fans, because it's in old gay Paris. So yeah, it must be on a normal time. So I'm going to enjoy the shit out of these fights. I hope you do as well. So we'll see. I'll do a recap of these in the following week. Till then, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.